Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. This is a special morning to be gathered together like this. I admit it's a new experience for me. I have never been a school board chairman's wife, so you'll have to excuse me if I say some things that are ignorant on that. I know some of you, quite a few of you, but there's some faces here that I don't know. So for your sakes who don't know me, I'll give a brief introduction. My name is Esther Bauman. My husband is Dwayne Bauman. We are members at the Calvary Conservative Mennonite Church, and God has graciously blessed us with 4 sons and 1 daughter. At this time, they are all in the youth. They're all in their teens and their 20s. We were married in July of 97, and in December of that same year, Dwayne was ordained a minister for assisting in the mission work in India. So we spent nearly 3 years following that, living in India for 6 months at a time and returning to Canada for a few months at a time to renew our visas. In September of 2022, Dwayne was ordained a bishop for Calvary and the Gospel Light congregations. So that has brought another aspect to our lives. And being a minister's wife, a missionary's wife, or a bishop's wife was never something that I asked for. I never longed for, or I never had youthful imaginations about. But God placed me here, and I'm learning as I go. Thinking of our subject today, assisting without competing. Even though I have never been on a school board or a school board chairman's wife, it does come in as being a minister's wife as well. So I trust that we can be encouraged together, each in our roles. When we had children in school, we would sometimes get these notes that came home. Cleaning schedules, how many candies to send for the candy bags at Christmas, and we would get hot lunch schedules and or a request to do a quilt patch, have it done by a certain day. And the interesting thing was these little notes, they were signed by the board wives. And I'm sure many of you in this audience can relate to that. We had often a little smile or a joke about that. So are they B-O-R-E-D? I don't think so. Board wives. Are they made of 2x4s? I don't think so. These are a special group of women busy behind the scenes, without which the schools would not run smoothly. Also, you are a huge influence on the work of the school. So today I want to look at some Bible women. I have 4 names. Some positive examples, some negative, and some of each. I'm sure there'd be many more we could look at, but we only have a limited amount of time. So I'm going to read some verses relating to these 4 different women. I'll give you the names Sarah, Rebecca, Esther, and Jezebel. So I'm going to read the verses, just a few verses regarding each one. You're welcome to follow along if you have your Bibles with you. We'll turn to 1 Peter 3, read verses 5 and 6. That refers to Sarah. First Peter 3, 5, and 6. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. We could read more verses about Sarah in Genesis, but I've chosen not to take the time to do that. I'm sure you all know her life story, and we'll refer to her a few more times yet. So now, Rebecca, Genesis 24, 58 and 67. Genesis 24, 58 and 67. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now I have another reference about Rebecca, chapter 27, verses 5 to 10. And Rebecca heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebecca spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. So that's an example of Rebecca's deceit. She took advantage of her husband's near blindness, and she deceived him. Now we'll turn to Esther. Chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Esther, chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Then answered Esther and said, My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. And then we'll also go to chapter 7, verse 3. Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. Now we'll turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. Talking here about Jezebel. 1 Kings 21, 4 to 7. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said to him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now let's go to 7 verse 3. Sorry. 1 Kings 21 verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. I brought her in as a negative example. I'm not going to talk much about her, but I'll just say right now what I had, what made me think of her, that she actually assisted her husband. She assisted him to kill Naboth and that he could receive the vineyard. So she assisted her husband, but it was in an evil sense. And she was a competition, actually, to the work of God. It says somewhere else that she had all the prophets of God slain in Israel, except 100, that Obadiah hid in caves and fed with bread and water. So she was a competition to good, to God's work. And we know too the story of Elijah, how she threatened to kill him, and she was obviously against God's work. So this is one example of how not to be. Just bring that out first. We want to spend more time on the positive, and that we want to assist in God's work and not compete in that way. So I have a few points here. Points that we want to keep in mind as helpers to our husbands when whatever work they are in. The first thing is courage. We all need courage. And as we think of Sarah, those verses we read, there's a phrase in one of those verses that we are not to be, or we are Sarah's daughters if we are not afraid with any amazement. And I often wondered what does that exactly mean. It's not really the wording we would use today. So looking it up, it actually means that we should not, or you should not, well, it refers to a bird flying away in alarm. And I had to think about that a little bit. How can we be like a bird that flies away in alarm? The first first little thing that scares us, maybe. But I think as wives, maybe we sometimes get those feelings. We just would like to run away from it all or fly away or whatever, especially when harder things come. Thinking about boards and committees and we often the first thing, maybe at least when we get into it, the first thing is we think of meetings, lots and lots of meetings. And we can sigh, does he have to go away again and again? And I had to think of our Brother Noah's father. If he was on three different school boards, I think maybe his wife had a reason to suggest that he should maybe drop one. So, and there's probably a time for that. But there's also a time to simply to be courageous. So we can choose to sigh, or we can choose to pray for the meeting. If you know what matters are on the agenda, you can pray with the Spirit and with understanding. You know what's being talked about, you know what they're working with right now. So you can pray. Pray on your knees and pray while you're washing dishes or sweeping the floor. Our children will pick that up. If mom's feeling sorry for herself because dad had to go to a meeting, they'll pick that up too. But if they hear mom pray for the meeting, that will give a different message to them, a good message. After all, the work does need to be done by someone. And if your husband is dependable and trusted enough to be on the school board, then thank God. Thank God for that. There might be some homes where the husband is away and the wife doesn't know where he is. And so if he's in a board meeting or doing a good work for the school, just thank God for that. We can hold up their hands like Aaron and Hur did for Moses when the battle was going. So be courageous. Another point to have is support. Support, help meet, assisting, those words are all they're interrelated, but I put it down as support. Be there to listen. Be ready to listen. But don't pepper him with a lot of questions before he's ready to talk. Just be open to listen without being quick to offer advice. Sometimes I think as women, our minds maybe travel quickly and something pops right up to the front that we would like to say, and we would like to disagree but be slow to offer advice. If you think that things are off track or they're not seeing things right or whatever, think before you speak and pray. You don't even have to offer your ideas right away, but think it through, pray it through. And then if you do speak, maybe try to slowly or thoughtfully repeat what he just said, or start your sentences with suppose, or do you think? Those kinds of phrases have a way to keep communication going rather than just saying that won't work or it's a bad idea. We tend to close doors if we're too curt and too opinionated. Here I had to think of Queen Esther, how she used quite a lot of forethought and strategy when she made her appeal to her king. She thought this thing through. She didn't act in haste. And prayer was also a major part. She asked everyone in Shushan to fast and pray. So prayer was a major part as she appealed to her king. And then if there's things that maybe we can support, there's maybe still a time to simply keep our mouth. And thinking of Sarah, she obeyed and she supported, even when Abraham made some mistakes. We don't read what she had to say after he had lied about who she was, but it seemed she was courageous and she stuck it out. Now she also made some mistakes. We see how she pulled on the reins to bring about the birth of Ishmael. The results of that are still ongoing. So we see the Muslim people they come from Ishmael, and they're, like it was said of Ishmael, his hand shall be against every man. It seems they are still fighters. So Sarah here was trying to help God fulfill his promise. Usually we can do more by not getting involved if we are not asked to. Sometimes just quietly praying in the background is the best thing in a certain situation. Another aspect of support is to go with him wherever you can. Like Rebecca said, I will go. And she didn't have much time to prepare, but she was willing. So, whereas in some areas we should stay back when it's not our business, other places we should be ready to go. And we should be willing to give ourselves. Thinking of events at school, of course school picnics and programs, and then I'm sure there's a lot of other things too that need to be done, as you as wives can go along and help along with at school, behind the scenes probably. But that will be an encouragement to your husband if you're willing to go, willing to help. And really, I think the men on the board would be quite crippled if it wasn't for your help in the details. Also, be there to offer comfort, whatever that takes. Prepare good meals. Take time to prepare good meals or plan for outings. Also be there for intimate times with your husband. Those things will all help him and empower him to do the work that he has to do. We see that as Rebecca was brought to Isaac's tent, she was a comfort to him. Another point I have here is be confidential. We're all different in our personalities, and sometimes for some of us maybe this is harder than other, but it is very important to be confidential, especially in sensitive matters, and guard confidences, even if it's about someone who's not connected with you. You can respect others by guarding their confidences. It might be tempting to share a juicy bit, but really, as I think it, the golden rule comes in there, that we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So we should put ourselves in that, in their place. If this was happening with our child, with our family, would we want it to be spread abroad? So that's a good thing to remember. And if there's times when your husband comes home from a meeting and he's reluctant to share, or maybe he's just too tired, or don't pressure him. It might come out sometime, and if you don't know everything, the world will keep on going around, even if we don't know everything. But we are all different, and there may be times when we can share with another, a board member, or another sister. Sometimes it is good to talk to someone about it. But in that case, it's probably also good if you communicate with your husband who you've been talking to about it. So just to keep that clear. I don't think I said at the start that I do want to open it up at the end, if you have any thoughts or things you want to add, or questions or whatever. I want to open it up at the end. So another point here I have is be positive. We've already heard a lot of good on this morning, but I think in your kind of work, it's especially important to be positive and encourage the work of the school. Speak positively about the teachers, both when you're in their presence or when you're not. When you're away from them, talking to someone else, make sure you're careful what you say and that you speak positively. There are maybe times when things happen that are not good, but there's probably better ways to help those situations rather than everyone talking about it first. So encourage the teachers, and we heard a lot of good ideas already, and how we can encourage teachers. I think those are all good points. If there are hard issues to work through, there can be, and I'm sure all of you know that there can be some very, very hard things at school and puzzling things. That's a time to pray together, pray a lot. And of course, the the board will have to come to a decision, and often those decisions are hard as well for them, but once it's been made, then we don't help by competing with those decisions, but rather accepting what they came up with, even if we don't personally agree. One tendency that we have as women is we want to side with everyone. We like to make everyone feel good, and maybe that's what the Bible talks about being double-minded, or one aspect of being double-minded. But I think we need to support what's been decided, and yes, we need to support. If someone is having a hard time because of that, we need to be there as a support, but not for a pity party. We can say we will pray for you, but not be there to have a pity party with them. On this point, I was thinking about Rebecca. She used deceit, and I trust we don't think of that, but it can be a temptation, I think, for us to be deceitful behind the scenes. But let's not follow that path. Another way we can assist is by cheerfully supporting the school rules and guidelines. Maybe that comes in then. Our children come home and complain about something they have to do at school. We don't have a pity party with them, but rather we encourage them that's not that hard to do. You can do that. And also as parents, when we, or as mothers especially, we shop for school clothes. Our school probably also has a dress code. So we can help as we let that dress code guide us while we shop. That can actually help us in making our selections. So let's be like Sarah, stick it out in the hard times, and you'll also be there for the rewards. I didn't mention the birth of Isaac, but Sarah went through some very hard times, but she was also there. She was ready to give birth to Isaac when the time came for him to arrive on the scene. And I know there's things we face that are hard, but if we're courageous and we follow God's leading, then we will also be there for the rewards. I'd like to open it up now if there's any thoughts that were circling through your minds that you'd like to talk more about, or any questions. Is it 11 o'clock we're to be done? 10:51. Okay, so our time is almost over.
One thing that has helped me in the years my husband has been on the board is viewing it as a privilege. Our schools are a privilege. We don't need to keep that in mind. And there's always things. I mean, like I said, I just asked I would have other things for him to do. But it's a privilege, and our children, we have 4 children in school, and it's part of our way of helping the school. Hmm.
Yes, considering it as a privilege, and certainly a great gift that we have. Was there anything else? I was going to read a few verses in closing. 1 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. To promise that I want each of us to take with us today. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. I think that covers the a lot of area in life, and just encourage that we can all go ahead and let's be like Sarah and be courageous in our role. Thank you for your attention.